Hey y'all, welcome back to I Promise to Shoot You If You Become a Zombie. So, how was your day? I hope that wherever you're listening to this, that you're having a great day, a great night, you know, all the things. Hopefully we will have warmer weather coming soon here in Mississippi. It actually is. It was so beautiful today. The last few days, it's been so much warmer than it was last week. And I hope the rest of the country gets to catch up very soon. So did you enjoy the Mara Murray case that I did the other day? Y'all, that case still has my mind boggled. Like, so many questions, so many thoughts going through my head. Like, the man with the knife, y'all, I'm telling you, I believe there is a connection there. I really, really do. I really hope they find her very soon so that her family can have some closure. So today, I thought we'd do a little something different. It's still a missing persons case. It's still a true crime case, but it has a happy ending, and I love happy endings. I'm a sucker for happy endings, and when it comes to these cases, happy endings are the best kind. So we're gonna do that today, so y'all stay tuned. Have you heard of Alicia Koskovich? I really hope I pronounced that last name correctly. If you have not, please stay tuned because we're fixing to talk about her and she has a story to tell, y'all. It is an amazing story, but it is so sad at the beginning. But I'm inspired. It's an inspirational story and I really hope I can do it some justice. So here we go. So Alicia was born in 1988, and when she was 13 years old, she had been talking online to someone that she thought was a boy her own age, you know, like we all did at that age, okay? Because when I was a teenager, which I didn't have the internet, I didn't have a computer at my home until I graduated high school. But I would go to the library, I'd get online, my friends had computers, we would chat, and I actually have met my husband on America Online. So, but that being said, there are a lot of evil people in this world. So she thought this boy she was talking to was her age, you know, and they chit-chatted, and they talked online for over a month. And, you know, she didn't know she was doing anything wrong. She didn't know that anything could happen. And that is what is so scary, especially nowadays, because the internet is such a big deal nowadays. You know, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's TikTok, there's YouTube, there's all kind of things online now. And children are on there. Whether or not these apps say that children can be on there, they're on there, okay? Pay attention to your children. But that being said, this is what she did. You know, she was talking to this boy and she wanted to meet him. Of course she did, you know. And she made plans to go meet this guy. I'm sorry, I need to make a change. I said that they had been talking on the internet for a month. They had actually been talking on the internet for over a year. And the man's name was Scott Tyree. And she thought he was her age, 13 years old. He was 38 years old, y'all. 38 years old talking to a 13-year-old girl. Oh, mm-mm. But she thought he was her age. And they talked online for over a year. The computer was in the family room. You know, her parents thought that they were being safe. They had the computer in the family room where she could be in front of everybody and they could see what she was doing online. But just like any kid, you know, they're sneaky. I was sneaky, you know, at that age, and she was sneaky, and she would go and talk to Scott at night when everyone else was asleep. That is when she would talk to him online. So on New Year's Day in 2002, Scott Tyree talked Alicia into meeting him near her home in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He lived in Virginia. So when they met, he was able to get her to get into his vehicle, and she did, and he drove her back to his home in Virginia. And I'm sure by this time she's terrified because she realizes he is not a 13-year-old boy. He is a grown man, and I'm sure she was terrified. You know, I know me as a 13-year-old girl, and I would have been so scared. I would have been hysterical. I know she was scared to death by this time. So they go back to Virginia where he lived. And over the course of 4 days, he tortured her, he raped her, he shackled her, and he videotaped it and put it online. He live streamed everything that he did to her. I mean, y'all, this man, oh honey, it would not do for me to get my hands on this man. I'm just gonna say that. Let's just put that out there. But he did all of this to her over the course of 4 days. Fortunately, someone was watching this, watching these live streams, and Alicia's family had put out missing persons posters, and the person that was watching these live streams saw her and reported it to the FBI. Now, that's wonderful. Thank God for this person. Thank God that they saw her, and that's great, but why were you watching that kind of stuff? Like, anyway, I digress. He was watching the, or she, whoever it was, it doesn't say, they were watching the videos. They noticed Alicia. They recognized her from the posters, and they called it in, and FBI rescued this little girl. Thank God. She was rescued, y'all. She was found safe. She was alive, and she was rescued. Thank God. So after she was rescued, Alicia was taken to the hospital, and she was examined, and they released her to the Fairfax County Child Protective Services. So her parents, Mary and Charles Koskovich, they were unable to take a commercial flight to go get her because of the media attention that was surrounding this case. So they were privately flown in by the FBI the next day to go get their daughter. Unfortunately, after her abduction, Alicia suffered from PTSD and significant memory loss, and she actually has a hard time remembering a lot of her life before the abduction, and she says that therapy has helped her with that. Unfortunately, back then, this was in 2002, and people did not understand how this could have happened, and a lot of the times they blame the victim, which, no, that's what we're not going to do. We're not going to blame the victim ever. Like, ever, 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 we're not going to do that. But, unfortunately, there were some people that did. They would blame the victim when this would happen. In September of 2003, her abductor, and y'all know, I really don't want to give him a lot of attention. I don't really want to say his name a whole lot because this is not about him. I'm just going to say that right now. He is an evil man, and he did an evil thing. And this is not about him. This is about Alicia and how strong she is and how brave she is and how awesome she is to overcome this. So there's that. But in 2003, he was arrested and they sentenced him to 19 years in prison, and he was released in February of 2019. When he was released, he was put in a halfway house in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there were actually a lot of protests about the location of where he was released to because it's right there by where Alicia lived, and there were a lot of people that did not like that he was going to be that close to her, which I so understand. I wouldn't want it either. But in October of that year, the protests were kind of moot because he ended up getting an additional 2 years incarceration for violating parole, and he is currently still incarcerated. Fortunately, he is incarcerated in Elkton, Ohio, so that is not near Pittsburgh. So 1 year after her abduction, when she was 14 years old, Alicia founded the Alicia Project. The Alicia Project is an advocacy group that spreads education and awareness about internet safety and the prevalence of child predators online. Which, go Alicia, 14 years old, that's awesome. Alicia has shared her story at schools and spoke at conferences. Even though she has admitted that speaking about this is triggering, she still does it to help others, to spread awareness. Like, how awesome is that? Like, I'm sorry, but this woman is a warrior. In 2007, she tested. Testified at the House Judiciary Committee. I butchered that, but she testified to raise the importance of internet safety to make internet laws to protect children. She successfully lobbied for the passage of the Protect Our Children Act of 2008. She has also been lobbying for Protect for Alicia's Law alongside state legislatures. Alicia's Law provides a stream of state-specific funding for the ICAC. Right now, Alicia's Law is passed in 11 states, including Texas, Virginia, Idaho, Hawaii, and California. But she is petitioning to have it in all 50 states. In 2018, it was reported that Alicia's Law had assisted in the arrest of over 1,000 predators in Wisconsin alone. Y'all, this girl is on fire. Like, this is so awesome. I wish that all of these cases could be this good. Also, Alicia's Law has been able to provide funding for Wisconsin to have a canine unit to be able to locate electronic devices. Like, man, this woman is so awesome. Like, I can't say it enough. Y'all really need to go check her out. Like, she is on fire to help locate missing people and advocate against child, predators and make sure that children are safe. And as a mom, like that, thank you. Like, I love that so much. Alicia's work has been acknowledged by the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children. They also honored her with the Courage Award in 2007. Alicia was also honored in 2009 with a Jefferson Award. And this right here, this girl has also trained the FBI, y'all. Like, what? The FBI National Academy. She gives insight and helps them do what they need to do to help catch these predators. Like, this is awesome. In 2013, Alicia joined the Distinguished Speaker Series at the Clinton School of Public Service. Man, she is racking them up, y'all. Yes. She also wrote a book in 2008 called You Are Not Alone. It is the journey from abduction to empowerment. And it's a survival guide, basically. And so that's awesome. So that was 2008. She was abducted in 2004. She was 13. So she was around 16 or 17 years old and wrote a book. Y'all, I mean, I know it's awful. It's awful what happened to her. But y'all, God is using this girl. Yes, ma'am. Yes. She has also teamed up with Investigation Discovery TV. So if y'all like true crime, and I know you do, the ID channel is it, y'all. Like, I fall asleep watching the ID channel. Like, I'm a little obsessed. It's a little sad. But she has teamed up with them, and she gives them insight on all this stuff. I mean, it's just the ID channel. She helps them with information about internet safety and awareness, and that's so cool. Like, I wonder if she has met Joe Kenda. Like, y'all, Joe Kenda, okay? She also teaches airport personnel to recognize the signs of abductions and you know, children that could be taken away and against their will. And she teaches these employees to be on the lookout and what the signs are. Like, how cool is that? Like, I know that I am hyping her up, but I'm a fan, y'all. Like, she is so awesome. I mean, thank God she was rescued, but her life could have gone a completely different direction. She could have chose to internalize these feelings, this trauma, and she could have gone off the deep end. And I'm sure she struggles still today with all of this, but she is using it to help people. Like, that's just a very big deal to me. I mean, I think that people that go through these horrible things and still choose to do good, those are the people that you want to be around. Those are the people that you want on your team, in your corner. You want to strive to be like them. And so, yeah, I'm a little obsessive about this, because I just think that she's awesome and God is using her, and I'm a fan. She also earned a bachelor's degree at Point Park University in psychology. And in 2016, she graduated from Chicago School of Professional Psychology with a master's degree in forensic psychology. Okay. Okay. Y'all can't tell her nothing, okay? Like, if Don't Need a Man had a face, this is her, okay? The woman is doing the thing, and I think she's really awesome. She also has a TikTok if you want to follow her. And on that page, she talks about her story, but she also spreads awareness of missing people. She's all the time posting missing persons posters to help get the word out for some of these missing people that get no media attention. So go check her out on TikTok. It's Alicia Kozak, I think, is her TikTok name. And y'all just go check her out. I know the story isn't that long today, but I really wanted to just give her a big shout out because, you know, like I said, she just chose to do good with this horrible thing that happened to her. Thank God she was found. Thank God, you know, somebody was watching that live stream. I mean, it just really is a good thing that she was able to get out, because, you know, a lot of times that's not how that ends. Most of the time, that's not how that ends. Whether it's with children or adults, most of the time if they go missing, they're not coming home, unfortunately. And if they do, they're coming home on a stretcher. So, y'all, just go check her out. Watch her story. Listen to her story. And maybe y'all will get a little inspiration like I did. And also, you know, in honor of her, anytime you're on Facebook or you're on social media and they're sharing posts about missing people, share it. You know, it doesn't take much to hit that share button. Like, not even a millisecond of your time. Do it. Because these families, they deserve it. They deserve to know where their families are. They deserve to know what happened. And if we can help in any way just by pushing one little button, why not? So thank y'all again for listening. My resources were, of course, Wikipedia and TikTok, because I've watched hers myself. And, you know, just like I said, just check her out. And y'all go check out my Facebook group. It's titled the same as the podcast, I Promise to Shoot You If You Become a Zombie. It's an open group. And yeah, so thanks again for listening. Bye.